private contractors are America's shadow army in Iraq, essential but often forgotten. Among the most vulnerable are civilian truck drivers who navigate the most dangerous roads in the world, delivering everything from meals to mail to bullets to porta-potties. The truckers face ambushes unarmed. At least 63 of them have died. 24 were Americans, the rest third country nationals. Some say their employer, KBR, should have done more to protect them. In the first of two stories, NPR's John Burnett reports on the trucker's war.
Imagine yourself in the cab of a truck, bouncing along a highway in Iraq. Palm trees and dung-colored houses whiz past. Children run out to beg. Men in white dishdashes and red headscarves with hostile faces watch you pass. This is a sound montage taken from videos shot by truck drivers in Iraq. You swerve to miss a donkey carcass. It could be booby-trapped. Suddenly, a familiar sound.
I'm not hit. We're taking heavy fire, heavy machine gun fire.
You hope the soldiers in the Humvees escorting your convoy shoot back. You pray the flak vest you're wearing stops an AK round because the truck you're driving is not armored. And above all, you think, don't stop. There are bad guys out there who want to pull you out and cut your head off. Then a sharp concussion. Black smoke. Chaos.
God damn! How you doing on the left side?
To amend the old saying about foxholes, there are no atheists driving trucks in Iraq.
Jesus Christ, help us all, Lord.
It's another day on the job of a truck driver for Operation Iraqi Freedom. In order, drivers Scott Hodges, Michael Vick, and Billy Garcia.
It's such an unusual type of job. For the people that do it and are successful at it, there's a real brotherhood there.
Rock throwing, they can hit inside your cab while you're moving at 50 miles an hour. These children are magnificent. I mean, I said, y'all can make $1 million in baseball field.
We would get every convoy we'd pull out on, we'd get rocked or shot at. Or something. There was always some kind of conflict going on every convoy. The good Lord saw fit to bring me home alive one time. I'm not going to contest him the second time.
30 former drivers and a few current ones were interviewed for this story, each with his own nickname: Rubber Duck, Smokey Joe, Poncho, Pops, Boozer, Scout, Big Money, Tanker, Wolf Pack, and Rawhide. All of them worked for the war's biggest contractor, Houston-based KBR, a subsidiary of Halliburton. Austin Dunn was a 55-year-old professional truck driver down on his luck in Houston when he decided to have his last adventure.
And of course, the first time you call KBR about an employment over there, the very first thing the guy told me, the recruiter, says, how would you like to make $100,000 a year? Well, I just lost my job here in Houston, and my wife and I, we were struggling. You know, we were living in a little one-bedroom apartment, didn't have anything. And as soon as he said that $100,000, I mean, I'm just like all the other guys. I set the hook.
They signed up to pay off houses, pickup trucks, hospital bills, credit card bills, and ex-wives. But not all of them had dollar signs in their eyes, says Jim Bob Murray, a former rodeo cowboy and a driver in Luling, Texas.
I went over just to help the troops. It wasn't about the money. I got too old to enlist, and I wanted to be able to, I guess, show my patriotism or be able to do something for them.
KBR has 700 trucks rolling across Iraq on any given day, making it the equivalent of one of the largest U.S. trucking companies. The need for drivers is constant because the turnover is so high. Despite a no-nonsense orientation in Houston, some drivers still don't understand what they're getting themselves into, says former convoy commander Roger Dixon of Stamford, Texas.
I'd see some guys that would come over thinking that it's just fun and games, and they'd go on one mission, and that'd be the last mission. They'd come back home. And then some people would get off the airplane and see how hot it was and go right back. 135 in the shade. It's real hot.
Few drivers complain about life inside camp. For instance, Camp Anaconda, 42 miles north of Baghdad, has air-conditioned rooms, a swimming pool and movie theater, and meal choices from pizza to cheeseburgers. The biggest complaint is when they go outside the wire, when they leave camp on a convoy mission.
The armor in the KBR trucks was not adequate to protect us at all.
Terry Stewart of Weezer, Idaho, almost died from gunshot wounds last year on September 20 when his convoy drove into an ambush. Three drivers were killed. Stewart believes most of the bloodshed could have been avoided that day if the trucks had been bulletproofed.
Issue of inadequate armor had been brought up by me and other people to KBR. We needed something done.
Scores of drivers told NPR they frequently raised the issue of inadequate armor to KBR managers. After one soldier pointedly questioned Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld 2 years ago about similar vulnerabilities with Humvees, the military moved aggressively to armor its vehicles. KBR trucks have lagged far behind, says Mark Overcash, who drove flatbeds for the company until last September. He's a ponytailed 300-pounder from San Leon, Texas, with a yellow rose tattooed on his bicep.
If you didn't have armor on a truck, you'd try to scrounge you up something, put in there to get some more metal in between you and the outside. And you just had to scavenge it because they didn't, some reason, KBR didn't think it was necessary for everybody to have armor.
KBR has tried various fixes. It purchased Kevlar shields that slip into door panels, retrofitted windshields with shatterproof Mylar, and outfitted truck cabs with ballistic blankets, which may or may not slow down bullets and shrapnel. But not all trucks have these features. The company, in an email response to NPR, explained that it continues to search for solutions, but the civilian Mercedes and Volvo trucks it purchases for Iraq are not easily armored. Quote, it has proven difficult and extremely time-intensive to locate and procure the equipment needed to retrofit the cabs with up-armor protection. Austin Dunn said the truckers might have been more understanding if it weren't for the fleets of luxury SUVs that KBR brought in for other employees.
What in the world do you need a big $55,000 Ford Excursion for one guy to drive from his office to the PX to the chow hall back to his office? It's just amazing the kind of money they were wasting. But, you know, they could have been using that money to armor plate our trucks.
And it wasn't just the fact that the soft-skinned trucks were death traps. It's what happened to truckers when they complained to KBR management.
Hey, if you don't like your job, Houston has 500 more drivers waiting to take your spot. You can go home. Chicken or pasta. Wind or aisle.
After 15 months driving a truck for KBR, Jim Bob Murray finally did take a plane home. He says too many of his friends were getting killed, and he didn't like the way the company treated its drivers.
The nickname we had for KBR was Kill 'em, Bag 'em, and Replace 'em.
That's pretty harsh.
Yes, sir. But there was quite a few drivers that whenever you asked what KBR stood for, that was the answer you would get back.
KBR said in its statement that, quote, all personnel are treated with dignity and respect, and they may return home if they become uncomfortable with the work they're performing. The company has erected a memorial wall to fallen truckers inside the KBR facility at Camp Anaconda. One of the names inscribed on that wall is Sasha Grinner Case, 32, a Florida-based trucker who was killed by insurgents in the September 20 ambush. His widow, Karen, lives in a mobile home park in Sierra Vista, Arizona.
Somebody asked what happened to your husband. I say, well, you know, he got killed in Iraq. Well, he's military. I'm like, no, he wasn't military. He was a contractor. They're not appreciated because nobody knows about them. And it's sad that the United States doesn't even realize all these guys are in such terrible danger.
Songwriter Steve Earle has written a musical tribute to truck drivers in Iraq. It's titled Home to Houston. John Burnett, NPR News.
If I ever get home to Houston,
tomorrow on Morning Edition, we'll hear about injured drivers who return home and are forgotten. For a trucker's eye view of Iraq and more interviews with former KBR truckers, go to our website, npr.org.